At that time, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. So some people came to Jesus with the objection, why is it that the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered them, can the wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is still with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, the wedding guest cannot fast. But the day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews an unshrunken piece of cloth on an old cloak. If he does, the fullness pulls away and the tear only gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the wineskins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. No, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, even though you may not be a seamstress or, like Dennis Grabeldinger, a winemaker, you understand the analogy that Jesus is giving to us. You live it when we come to Mass every day, every Sunday, and you change your life. You're changing the wineskin. He's saying, I am the wine, and I'm going to pour forth my grace, my power, my presence into you, so that I will be in you, and you will be in me. But I cannot pour it into old wineskins. You're a new creation, and what you were yesterday is old. You have to be new. And so you come and begin this holy sacrifice of the Mass when Jesus is going to pour forth His grace. And you say, where am I new? Every husband here is a better husband than he was yesterday. And wife, and parent, and child. Otherwise, another curse has come upon us. This is the most dangerous place. We sing, this is an awesome place, a holy place. It's a dangerous place to enter into. You come here without changing, without repentance, ruin. If you bring forth a leftover, or what you think you can't afford to give to God, a curse. If you come to receive the Eucharist and have not prepared yourself, but are aware of serious sin, a curse. Where have you changed from yesterday? That the new wine, Jesus Christ, might be poured into your heart. And do we fast? Of course we fast. What do you mean? Jesus is here with me. I experience Jesus. I talk to Him. And He talks to me. I come before the Blessed Sacrament in perpetual adoration. He's here in His body, in blood, His soul, in divinity. He's here.
But who of us would think that there's not room for more of God? And if we closed our eyes to what's going around, it's too bad about the rest of the world. I got Jesus. Jesus has been taken away every 47 seconds. One of our women and children are being raped. 2/3 of the world are starving, while the rest of the world is throwing away enough garbage that would take care of more than all the world. There's war, where we think that finally peace is coming to Ireland. It is thrown up in their face. In Israel, between the brothers again, the Palestinians and the Jews, our government has expelled Jesus Christ in education and entertainment, makes a mockery of Him. The day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away. You're the people of God who fast, who are looking for every which way in order to expel the power of evil. Instead of waking up in the morning, what are we going to eat? Thinking, what can I fast? What can I go without? What can I do for God? As you choose in your own life, there are many that continue to eat meat on Friday because it's inconvenient. Because 10 years ago, the Holy Father said, if you're someone's home and they serve meat, don't say, I'm Catholic, I don't eat meat. Fix me something else. He said, you can eat meat, it's all right. But there must be another sacrifice. Many people, all they heard was, you can eat meat. They didn't hear the sacrifice. They didn't hear the story of putting somebody through an inconvenience. Every day is like any other day, eating and drinking. That's how it's going to be at the end of the world. Of course, we're people of fast. We're looking for opportunities in order to give to the Lord, praying that His grace will come upon our land, upon our families, upon our children. You're raising children today. How many times? Aren't you tired of hearing? Sure glad we're not raising children in the 90s. In the 2000s. Oh, it must be terrible. It's not terrible for the family who does it in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the Dankowskis. You know them. Matthews are one of our seminarians. He's joining Father Gabriel Grishel's order. Right now he's working for NET, working with young people, bringing them to Jesus Christ. A beautiful spirit-filled. 7 members in this family, but one of them was taken home, their mom. And so Christmas was coming. And you know what they said? We want to celebrate this first Christmas without mom in the holiest place we could sing. And they emailed me and says, can we come to St. Francis Xavier? I said, of course you can. You have to sleep in the floor. We'll find room for you someplace. And so they came. It was a beautiful, beautiful encounter. A wonderful Christmas with them. And you know when they got married? They conceived their first child. They said, let's pray special for this child. How can we pray that this child will be more than healthy, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? And with every one of their children, they gave something else up. They fasted. Their first child. A big deal. What should we do? We'll give up smoking. They think they're giving something to God. They're the one that's receiving. He's a single man right now in California, an engineer, a daily communicant. Matthew, what did your parents give up when you were conceived, always did the next thing that they liked the most. Never again have they eaten chocolate. They love chocolate. That my child will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we think we're doing such a big deal. But this is the 90s, they said. It's a hard time to raise children. We must pray and fast. I don't know what they offered for Sarah. Sarah is a student at the University of Steubenville, and I just came back from there. I was able to have dinner with Stephen. Stephen's a seminarian. He's going to become a Sacred Heart father. I don't know what they offered for him either. But when I got back, I got an email from Sarah. She says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I missed you. I wanted you to meet my fiancé, John. I talked to him on the phone when they were here Christmas, but I never met him." She said, "We're getting ready to get married. We consecrated our lives to God. Do you know, Father, we made a promise, and so far we've kept it. We have never kissed. We're going to wait until our wedding day." The day will come when they will fast. Oh, you say it's too late now. My kids are all giving me trouble already. I should have done this 15 years ago. There is no 15 years ago with God. There's no time with God. If you brought forth one child, if you brought forth seven, consecrate them to God. Fast. Don't get off your knees. And see how the Lord hears that prayer. There's some evil, some Satan that cannot be driven out except through fast and prayer. And again, I'm going to give you an easy way. I don't know why I always give you an easy way to fast. You don't have to be like the Dankowskis and give up, well, you could give up smoking, but you don't have to give up chocolate. You don't have to give up coffee. And you don't have to give up snacks in between meals, although all of those things are wonderful to give up. But you don't have to. Do you know what you could do? You know, don't you? The moment you don't have any coffee in the house or any milk, you can offer that up to the Lord and say, "I know what my fast is going to be today." What? Milk. We don't have any milk. We got to put orange juice on our cereal or water. That's our fast. Instead of slamming the refrigerator closed, who used the last of the milk and didn't replace it? Instead of becoming upset and cursing, throwing away every opportunity of prayer, you could say, "I offer it to you, Lord." Why is it easy? The moment you do it, the screaming is over, the anger is over, the joy comes. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "My burden is light." It's not light, but the moment you accept it, and you say, "Thank you, Lord," the screaming, the hollering, the punishments, the anger, it's all gone. And you say very simply, "I wasn't too happy to find out that you used the last of the milk and didn't replace it. Would you please go get milk for the rest of the children now, please? And don't do it again. And for your punishment, get 2 gallons instead of one." You'll be at peace. That's what the Lord wants of us. He wants that peace. But if you come in here Sunday after Sunday and you receive a curse because you don't change your life, and you bring a sacrifice that's not a sacrifice, something left over, and Malachi says you leave with a curse, if you dare to receive the Eucharist in this state, and St. Paul said, "A curse is upon you," then no wonder
We live in hatred and bitterness and getting even and nobody talking to one another and screaming and not even sitting down to eat a decent meal together. My people, how I would have loved to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks. But you would not. It's got such a beautiful life for you. I can't put it into words. If you listen to his word, the day is here, and my people will fast. Pray, fast. Now, what are we going to eat? How do you like that, moms? You just get through finishing a wonderful meal. Poof, it's over. How many minutes does it take them to eat? 7 minutes and they're gone. You get all cleaned up and everything is cleaned up and here comes your 7-year-old. When are we going to eat? You just ate. They learned that from us. When are we going to eat? Don't ask that question. What are we going to eat? What am I going to sacrifice? What am I going to go without? Oh, I would just love to sit here with the Sunday paper, and if I just had just a glass of wine, and if I had some crackers, and if I had some cheese, and it would just pamper the king. Just give him some more, make it comfortable, see what else he can dote upon himself. What would you like? I'm going out into the kitchen. Thank you. Bring me a glass of water.
You wouldn't even think it, glass of water.
Bring me a glass of water. Nobody knows the fast that you're going through. Thank you.
I'll tell you, that glass of wine would taste better than any Merlot. Because you're in God's plan. And an accident was not incurred. Because you went without. You sacrificed. You fasted. Because there are crazy drivers out there. There's people who are so dysfunctional that they would destroy your child the moment you turn your back. And so you live in prayer, in fasting. And watch the blessing of God come upon you. Every one of our families could be a Danikowski family. Do it. Watch the grace of God. Please stand.